Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The truth is out there, and here, who knows? Either way, we're opening up the Bloom Files here on Post-Show Recaps and X-Files First Watch / Rewatch Podcast. Hello, everybody. Mike Bloom here, beginning Season 7 of the X-Files, but we're not focused on 7 right now. We're focusing on 6, because it is the 6th extinction. 1 and 2, that reaffirming that you're hearing is not a voice in your head, not a precog voice. But it is Angela Bloom. Hi, Angela.
Hi, Minority Report.
I know. Mulder comes out with the red ball. That would be an interesting, you know, path to go down, right? Because he does work in law enforcement in a certain perspective.
I did like that movie. It's a good movie.
I don't remember a lot of it except for the red balls. That's literally the only thing I remember about it.
And the bald chick?
The bald chick?
The precogs.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, my God. Anyway, we're not talking about that movie.
No.
We're talking about the X-Files.
Oh, I thought I watched Minority Report 6 times in preparation.
And that's all
this.
You remember is the red ball?
Yep, exactly. One in one ear, out the other. No, we're talking about the first two episodes of Season 7, which is sort of parts 2 and 3 from the way that Season 6 ended. It capped off a lot of stuff between Scully's African adventures, between following up on not only the plates, but also the big-ass ship in the water.
As soon as we sat down for this, and the opening scene showed Scully in her tent playing with photographs, I remembered the bugs.
Yeah, this is a very buggy episode.
As soon as I saw that tent, I said, oh no, here we go.
Yeah, so let's just jump right into it then. Because, yeah, to set up what last time on the X-Files, they found, you know, some plates in the sand on the Ivory
Coast.
Keep
calling them plates. They're artifacts.
But they look like plates to me.
Okay, plates.
Yeah, like they're like...
They're not round, though.
Like, no, but like plates as in like... Plates don't need to be round.
Yes, I know. But when you say plates, it sounds like a dinner plate.
No, I'm thinking more like metal plates, you know?
So say metal plates.
Metal plates. She found a metal plate. A metal plate was found in the sand, contained some writing that was linked back to, you know, some Navajo scrawlings. Mm-hmm. Basically, TLDW. The aliens created humanity.
Yes, that's what they're getting at. And this is all sort of Chris Carter's, like baby, where he like thought that the sixth extinction would come because of humanity, but that we were all descended from extraterrestrials. So it's happened before.
It is interesting, and this will be something that I didn't realize, but now makes a lot more sense in retrospect with these two episodes. And Spencer wrote in to say that apparently at the time, obviously, Season 7 was in the books, but the X-Files didn't know it was renewed for Season 8.
Yeah.
So
all of their contracts expired at the end of this season.
So I can imagine now this makes a lot of sense considering the characters that end up getting killed off in these two episodes. Like, bringing back all these people.
These rando characters. Yeah. Especially the ones that show up in Mulder's vision. It's like, oh, like, let's get the best hits of the X-Files. But it was very much so, oh, this is the end. And this is why, I mean, I don't think it's why, it's partially why, but David Duchovny only renews for partially. He's no longer a lead on the show after this season. Mm-hmm. So that's like pretty much him being peace out. Like, I'll come by for like cameos, but
yeah. Well, considering what happens to him in these two episodes,
yeah, rough road. And maybe this is Chris Carter getting back at him because there was like a lawsuit going on at the time too, because Fox, like the syndication of the show or something.
Not the syndicate.
Yeah. He didn't get like money basically. And he had a lawsuit. And then Chris Carter, actually, the same thing happens to him in, like, future years anyway.
Interesting. Well, I know that that happens, you know, like, Matt Groening makes one of the best deals in retrospect in, like, human history, where when he first created The Simpsons, he's like, all right, you can do this, but I get profit share on, like, all the merchandising that you do. And they're like, eh, sure, who cares? It's a little show. And then cut to, like, 30-plus years later, and he is raking it in.
Yeah.
So.
So true.
So let's go to Africa here, to your chagrin, because Scully.
No, I actually like the scenes in Africa. It's just the bugs that really
right.
get
and it starts right here as basically like she's writing a letter to Mulder, who is institutionalized.
Yeah, it's like
moment.
When she writes to him when he was in that. When does she write? Oh, when they were in the ship together and she's like writing a journal.
Yeah, but it reminds me a bit of like those old Civil War letters, you know, like my dearest Mulder.
Yeah. So, I mean, she's done this before where she writes down her, when she had her cancer and she's writing
that's
in her
what
journal
it is.
And they're all, they're all letters to Mulder. But anyway, she's looking at some of these plates. She's writing to Mulder and all of a sudden a figure of what I can only call a native African man shows up behind her and then vanishes. So, like, some creepy guy shows up behind her and then vanishes. So she's obviously a little scared.
I would be stunned beyond all belief if there was any consultation with anyone of color in this episode.
Although I will say the actress who plays Dr. Amina.
Dr. Ngebe.
Yeah, I don't know how to say her name, but is great in this. I doubt she actually is like fully African descent. Maybe she's of African descent, but that accent, I doubt is real. So I doubt that this guy is real.
Yeah. Well, so they don't really answer this. What was this supposed to be?
I think kind of like a warning, like a vision of like, stay away.
But it's a message sent, what, from the aliens?
Yeah, but they're in Africa. So they, aliens don't have any PC-ness about them.
Yeah, but it's interesting because, you know, obviously we're going to get Mulder's side of things, right? That because he was vaccinated against the black oil, he's having all these, like, Gibson-esque, you know, precognitive abilities.
Yeah.
Is that what Scully gets here as well for, like, her being exposed to the black oil? Is that she gets random visions?
No, I think that this is, because you can see later Dr. Amina, I'm going to call her, gets visions too, though. Like, she's seeing some of the stuff that Scully's seeing.
Okay.
You know, like, she's seeing the bugs. She's seeing, you know, so there are certain,
so
and the
like,
plague.
So there's just apparitions that are.
Yeah, because she doesn't see later the apparition of herself turning into this guy. So
right.
There's things that they're trying to tell Scully through this, but it's not like she's having the same situation that Mulder's having.
Yeah, and that includes having her tent covered in bugs.
Mm-hmm. Icky, 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 icky.
Yeah, and like you said, it seems like there are biblical plagues that are going to be foisted upon the Ivory Coast as Scully's hanging out here.
Right, so the whole situation is that there are these signs of apocalypse that are, like, coming from, like, yeah, like you said, biblical. There's these plagues of locusts, so.
Right, and we're going to get, you know, eventually
the boiling water, yeah.
The boils.
Exactly. So, you know, I don't know necessarily what you know, what it is, but
yeah,
she's getting visions.
It might have just been the ship, too. You know,
no, yeah, that's exactly what it is,
okay.
But I don't think that it's meant to be anything like what happening to Mulder.
Right, because what's Mulder, I mean, first of
something
all,
triggered something in Mulder, whereas
yeah.
The visions and the plagues and everything are just happening.
Mulder,
I was right, the actress's name is Janelle Kennedy, and she was born in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Okay, well, quite the opposite.
And she plays Joanne in Dreamgirls.
Who's Joanne?
I don't know.
So, the first name character in Dreamgirls. Mulder looks wrecked through these two episodes.
Yeah, the poor guy. He's basically, like, in a coma for most of it, and then the times he's not in a coma, he has these, like, bug eyes because he's, like...
Well, not, I mean, bug eyes are actually the ones that Scully's experiencing.
Right. So, I don't know. It's not the best look for Mulder here.
Because at this point, he's mentally overwhelmed. Like, I think the doctors say, right, that he has this insane brain activity and he's not being allowed to rest.
Yeah, it's abnormal brain activity, and he's basically, like, they say he's, like, a prisoner of his own mind.
Yeah.
Like, he can't get out of his own brain. And they show this later when, like, in the first scene of the second Extinction episode where he's yelling, Mom.
Yeah. Well, that's where, yeah, he's, like, actually comatose. Uh-huh. Here, he's, like, incommunicable, right? Like, Skinner comes in to visit him. Yes, he, like, throttles him, but he actually writes on a scrap of clothing, help me, which,
yeah, because, like, he's, like, going down the rabbit hole.
Very good dexterity work from Mulder.
Yeah, with his own blood.
Yeah, which, like, good penmanship, I would say.
Yeah, and basically, at this point, Skinner is going to enlist the help of Michael Krichkow.
Which is interesting, because you would think, so he writes, he basically goes to Catatonic Mulder, says, write down what you want.
Yes.
And he writes down KR, and you assume he's saying Krychek.
Uh-huh.
But we'll find out that it's actually Michael Krichkow, who hasn't appeared since, what, like, the beginning of season 5?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you the last episode we saw him, but you will remember the last episode we did see him. He basically, like, lost everything because he followed what Mulder asked him to do.
He was from that whole arc where he basically revealed to Mulder, this is all a government conspiracy, it's all been fabricated for you.
And then Mulder did nothing to keep him safe.
Yeah, exactly. So he's become, like, incredibly discredited at this point, right? He's, like, camped out in a shanty apartment. It's very clear he's lost his job with the government.
Yeah. But before that, I do think there's a scene with another scene with Scully. And
yeah, there's a couple. So when we meet Amina, right, Amina says that she's she works with animalists.
Yeah, she's Solomon Merkelman's former colleague. And she basically is, like, warning her to not tell any of the locals about the swarm of bugs.
Because they don't believe in nature's work.
No, and the apparition, because she also says something about the African internet.
Is
basically, like, word of mouth that,
don't call the African internet.
God. That they would, it's more that she's worried that nobody will come help. Nobody will come work here.
Yeah, just say gossip. Don't call it the African internet, people.
Well, yeah. But she's basically saying, don't tell any of the locals about this because nobody will come to your dig.
If you come in them and you're saying, these are aliens, nobody's going to believe
even
you.
No, that she's saying, don't tell them about the swarm or the primitive agrimen or anything like that because they're going to believe it's a bad omen and they're not going to help you with your dig site.
And this is where we get...
They shouldn't because they go into the water and it's boiling.
And also it turns to blood at a certain point, so really just don't go in the water
whatsoever. Don't go in the water. That's like once Dr. Barnes arrives, water Dr. turns Barnes. To blood.
Now, this was confusing. There was a hot second, right, where you said, is this, did they cast a different person
no,
to play
Dr.
Barnes?
No, he just looks raggedy.
Well, this is casual Barnes, right?
Yes.
Like, he's out of academia.
Yes.
Brendan Fitzpatrick said that Barnes kind of looks like a knockoff John Lithgow.
He definitely
which
does.
Which I definitely see.
Yeah, so that's probably why we were like, oh, he looks familiar, and especially in this look, he looks more like John Lithgow than he does in the previous look.
And
but
John Lithgow, famous alien.
Famous alien.
I love Third Rock from the Sun.
I know you do.
The big giant head.
You're so weird.
Never forget one of French Stewart's finest roles in all of television.
Probably, yeah.
By default.
By default, yeah.
So let's talk about this Krichkow side of things, because I was surprised about this in the moment, but I think in retrospect makes a lot more sense. And Spencer, you know, expressed this, that I think, again, given all that Gibson stuff that we experienced, makes so much more sense as to why Mulder has these abilities.
Yes and no. I mean, I think they're kind of loosely tying it to that in an excuse to give Mulder these abilities, to have him have a little bit like a, we'll see in the next episode, Jesus moment. But yeah, basically Skinner's visits Michael Krichkow, basically like Mulder wants your help and he's living in low income housing. And he finally does convince him to go to the hospital. And he tells Skinner that he believes that Mulder has alien induced mind reading abilities and he's gonna wake him up to slow down his brain activity. He's going to give him phenytoin, which is a drug, I guess.
I believe that is the drug. Isn't that the drug that killed Michael Jackson?
No, that is propofol.
Okay.
I know this because that is what they give you when you go under anesthesia for small procedures. And I had an endoscopy and it was the best.
Oh, God, please don't advocate. We're not a propofol podcast.
No, but that is what they give you for anesthesia, and I can see how you could get addicted to it because you wake up refreshed.
That's like a good night's sleep.
Truly.
But yeah, Krichkow brings up this phenomenon called, I think he calls it remote viewing, right? This idea where the brain is working overtime.
Phenytoin is an anti-seizure medication.
Okay.
Which, sure, slows down brain activity. Makes sense.
Yeah, basically he's giving him something to slow down the electrical impulses to Mulder's brain to, like, rouse him back to life.
Snap him out of his, like, little, like, reverie of I don't know, mind reading.
And he does. He comes back and says, they're coming. Much like our son.
But he's saying that because down the hall, Diana Fowley and a doctor are coming down the hall.
Right. So at this point, Mulder doesn't necessarily realize it, but he's expressing those powers. Like, the way Krischgau kind of gets a sense that something's up is that he sees Mulder's brain activity spike in response to a question that he didn't ask out loud.
Yes.
Right. He's like, oh, he must have read my mind, heard my voice, and responded, hence the spike in brain activity.
Yeah, exactly. And so they're going to wake him up a little bit, but during that wake up, he basically tells Skinner he knows about Alex Krycek and like why he's being blackmailed.
Yeah, he does a nice little yada yada. We know Mike Bloom didn't watch those episodes, so like, let's describe what happened.
And also that Fowley is like with the smoking man. He like says like, oh, I know about her being bad too.
Meanwhile, Scully is doing a little bit like Stranger Things season 2, right? She has all the pieces of paper with the markings on the ship.
She's taken photos and like in sequence of these markings, put them all out on the floor, and it's all very much so in an effort to translate the inscriptions. And so she's taking Barnes's help because he is very, very invested in this project.
And we should also mention, I was a bit surprised to see Barnes here, not only because I didn't remember what he looked like, but also when we saw him on the roof with Krycek, my assumption is if you share a scene with Alexander Krycek, he's going to murder
him. And I think that may have been the assumption, but for some reason, like, they bring him back here. I don't know what.
Well, I think it's so Cigarette Smoking Man is obviously using him, right?
Yes.
Like, he's here on behalf of him to spy.
That, and then also Barnes is obviously very invested in this because it is like a huge mystery and he's an academic man. He wants to solve it.
And it's interesting because as Scully herself vocalizes, right, this guy was known for discrediting the work of Sokovia or whatever that guy's name was the entire time. But now he sort of has feet in both camps. Right. Like,
well, because I think he discredited that work on the cigarette smoking's behalf.
Well, because Amina's going to say, you know, oh, the genetic mappings on the hull of the ship, this is a work of God. And Barnes is like, there is no God. It was just a spark that merely created the animate from the inanimate.
Right. Because they're finding on the spacecraft inscriptions, which contain like a ton of information on human genetics.
Right. Like, literally, Scully is doing the Christmas Story Ovaltine ring, spelling out like adenine, cytosine, guanine,
thymine.
Yeah.
And then also there's like texts from different religious scriptures. So Dr. Amina finds the Quran is inscribed on one of these things too. And it's like, and that's why she's like, well, it's an act of God.
It maps out the day of final judgment.
Anyway, Barnes loses his shit.
He goes truly loco. It's a little bit Heart of Darkness, speaking of another African based piece of pop culture.
And he has a machete.
Yeah. He pulls a machete on them. Basically it's like, oh, you're going to take credit for my discovery. We can't have that. And basically, he's going to, like, sit up all night holding them hostage so they don't leave.
Yeah, so they're laying down in their little bug tents, and they're kind of looking at each other, and they're trying to find a time to like, escape. And all of a sudden, the metal plates that are located under a desk start shaking because on top of the metal plates are a bunch of dead fish that they pulled out of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And the fish have been reanimated. So they're
just flippy-flopping around.
The craft is bringing dead fish back to life, and Scully takes this opportunity to knock him out and escape.
Yeah, GTFO. Meanwhile, Krischgau is going to test Mulder's methodology in a little bit of a lampshaded moment, like a little bit shades of Ghostbusters.
But this is a section that like stands out to me in my mind too, because it's like I remember exactly what happens in this, which is kind of crazy.
But instead of cards, it is instead three mini television sets, and it's like, okay, touch the screen that's going to have the UFO showing up on
it. As it comes, it basically like touch the screen that has the UFO on it when it pops up. So it's rotating through all these different, it's like flashcards, and identify the flashcard when it's up.
Yeah.
But he's not able to do it. And Krischgau's like, it's only like 25%, which is like not good. So he clearly doesn't have like telepathy abilities. And Skinner's like, wait a second. Speed it up.
Crank that, soldier boy.
And Mulder is able to actually anticipate the images, which means he's like,
he's a precog.
Yeah, which is a favorite word of yours. But yeah, so it basically proves that he does have this abnormal brain activity that's leading to, I don't know, like all these abilities.
Yeah. But again, it's the remote viewing. It's this idea that like, not necessarily he knows what's going to happen, but he's able to anticipate things based on, you know, his enhanced brain activity. So immediately these two are like, we got to get him out of here.
Yeah.
Well, though Skinner bristles a little bit, right? Because he's like, stop trying to pump him full of drugs.
Yeah.
It's clear you have your own agenda where you want to like discredit the government that essentially discredited you.
Yeah, revenge plot.
And so they're arguing so much that in busts in the old Fowley.
Right. So their plan was to inject Mulder with the phenytoin again in order to get him mobile so they can get him out of the hospital. But they inject him, and this time they're caught by Fowley, and yeah. Mulder just goes into a straight up seizure.
That's the medication that should have prevented that.
Yeah, exactly. Totally weird.
Meanwhile, everyone's having their own issues. Everyone's got problems.
So Barnes is, we're back in Africa. First of all, we forgot to mention that Scully sees the African man again.
You talked about this. As they were driving out, she looked to Dr. Amina.
And it basically is
the spear man who said, some truths are not meant for you.
She basically decides that's a sign for her to go back and take care of Mulder. Mm-hmm. And so Barnes is left to his own devices, decides to experiment.
Yeah, his own devices is murder.
And he kills the driver of the Jeep.
And he does it, I mean, surprisingly quickly. Maybe he just, you know, stuck the right vein, but like one strike of the machete and this dude died.
He sliced his head open.
I thought it was just a strike to the chest. I didn't see the
head. No, his head is like hacked in half.
Oh, I did not. Maybe I chose to ignore that.
Yeah, it was really gross.
That's gruesome.
So yeah, he kills him because he thinks like, let's experiment. Let's see if I kill this man, will he come back to life?
Jesus.
Is this the
Lazarus.
Yeah, the Lazarus pit of it all. And so, yes, he does, but he comes back as a zombie and he kills Barnes. Oh, maybe it's Barnes that has his head hacked in half. Somebody has their head hacked in half.
I think it's that they find like his body.
No, but I mean, when the guy hacks into Barnes, I do think it's his head that he hits.
What I believe it is. Meanwhile, Fowley basically now has this sort of like debrief with Mulder, right? She basically is trying to gaslight him once more, saying, you know, my loyalty is to you, and I know it's also to a man you despise. Because again, the assumption is.
But he's like under right now. Yeah. But she's like talking to his corpse.
But the assumption is after the whole two fathers, one son thing, that she is like firmly even more so in the cigarette smoking man's pocket. She called him in the season 6 finale.
Yeah.
And so basically, Fowley also says, I'm in love with you, Mulder, and now we can be together.
Yeah, it's so stupid. I hate her. Not that I'm like an avid like Scully Mulder need to be together person, which I am, but like at the same time, it's like it's neither here nor there. It's so not needed.
It's weird because next episode we're gonna get her redemption. She's gonna do a little bit of Jeffrey Spender.
I just don't think she's the person. I don't feel their chemistry.
I don't feel their chemistry, and I also don't feel like the writers felt the chemistry either.
No,
like,
it's very forced.
Again, I know we're skipping around episodes, but I feel like we should have gotten more of a build-up to this.
I think they tried to in previous episodes where like the Mulder or Scully and Fowley were like fighting over him in a way, and like, I don't know. I just don't buy her as a romantic interest for him, and I think that comes down to the fact that they have no chemistry together, whereas Scully, David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson do have chemistry because apparently they would fight all the time offset and whatever. But yeah, there's just nothing there. Anyway, back on the African coast, the spaceship is gone.
Spaceship is gone.
And Barnes dead.
Yeah, Barnes
officially
is dead.
This time.
And we should also mention here that Scully was able to, like you said, she hopped on a jet plane, came back over, like, you know, she immediately insists on going to see Mulder. She says, you know, he's not dying, he's more alive than he's ever been. So, like, she's drinking a little bit of that Kool-Aid, right? That sweet, sweet Mulder juice of there's something weird going on.
Well, I mean, it's pretty clear at this point, but she says that line, it's so cheesy.
Yeah, and there's also, again, speaking about teasing something, right? She has her own coma conversation with Mulder, and she says, you know, find a way to hold on. I love you.
Yeah, well, I mean, she does love him.
She does love him, but I don't know. I could see a way in which the show is presenting, like, Mulder and his two women, you know, the love triangle.
Yeah.
But like you said, Dr. Amina pulls up to the ship, Barnes is dead, and the ship is gone. But, like, are we to assume that the aliens got in it, or, like, did the zombie...
You know, I actually have no idea.
Did the zombie driver get in it?
I think that we're just supposed to assume that maybe it was, like, taken out into water, and it was just, like, meant, like, disappeared. Like, I don't think...
Could it be, like, a self-driving car, where, like, the aliens are like, beep, beep, okay, come on back.
I don't feel like it was, like, the aliens came and, like, took it, but, like, something about it, like, moved it away. It had, like, a self... like hiding mechanism. I don't know. It's hard to say, but it's gone. It's mysterious.
Yes. And so that is sort of like RIP to this storyline, that we'll get references to it in part two. I would say part two is very different from part one. Mm-hmm. And that will reflect in the writer and the director, and also with the tone of it. I do think that this episode serves nicely as a sequel to the season six finale, and maybe as a nice conduit between, you know, what comes next.
Yeah, because I think if they tried to push everything that they push in the Sixth Extinction part two, Amor Fati, it would be a little much.
Well, we're going to talk more about Amor Fati in Amor Time. But first, let's take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Back to talk Amor about Amor Fati. What does Amor Fati mean?
I was just looking it up because I don't remember, but I feel like I know this.
Probably something about love, right? Because Amor?
Maybe. I'll get back to you.
Okay. Because I know, maybe it ties into the fact that this is a little bit of like a, I don't know, it's an odd combination of Fox Mulder, This Is Your Life versus Fox Mulder, This Is What Your Life Could Be.
/ David Duchovny Wants to Be Jesus Christ.
So yeah, on that note, so you said this was written by Duchovny?
So this is written by Duchovny. Portions of it were written by Chris Carter. Mm-hmm. So basically, this is his second time writing for the show.
Right, he wrote The Unnatural.
Co-developed the second season finale, right. Anasazi. So
yeah, he's done a lot of like, hey, let me pitch in on a couple things.
Yeah, so this is inspired, Amor Fati, I remember I read this, is inspired by the Latin phrase referring to the love of fate, which is an important concept of the philosophical works of Friedrich Nietzsche.
Oh, very Nietzsche.
Basically, it's meant to be talked about, like, what is our fate? Mm-hmm. You know, like, what does it have to do with anything? You know, do we try to change things? Do we, you know, just go with the flow? And
right.
And basically it's about him accepting and then embracing his, you know, we want to believe journey, you know,
right.
It's all of that.
It's one of those, yet again, one of these reaffirming things of, in this capacity,
yes,
the cigarette smoking man's a little bit like the wolf in Little Red Riding Hood, right? Of, oh, let me mm-hmm. lead you off the trail and you can do this instead
yes.
of going to granny's house.
So, in addition to that, Mulder's dream and the decisions that he makes in the episode, these are the parts that were written by Duchovny. So there are parts that are not in his dream that Chris Carter just kind of like tied it all together.
Interesting.
And so the dream is inspired by, of course, that the concept of finding fate, but also it's reminiscent of the actions in the novel, The Last Temptation of Christ.
Yes.
And if you've ever seen the movie, The Last Temptation of Christ, it's exactly the same. It's like Christ makes the decision to not be killed for the good of humanity, and what happened, or he's like tempted and he goes with that temptation. Mm-hmm. And then what happens from there? Like it's showing, it's like, it's a Wonderful Life type thing.
Interesting. Okay. Cause I've never seen The Last Temptation.
Ah, yeah. So it's basically,
my types of people don't necessarily like those stories.
Yes. Well, I did take a class that discussed The Last Temptation of Christ.
I mean, I think it was called like Jesus Christ Superstar.
It was my first year seminar at college, but it was actually really, it's a really good thing to talk about because mm-hmm. it's such an interesting idea, whether or not it has anything to do with Jesus is like, basically the story is that Jesus is torn between his higher calling and then his desire to be human.
Basically. Yeah. I can imagine that. And like, so, like this idea, right. I've been saddled with this.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a...
The Last Temptation ends up being like a very like human one. I forget what it is, whether it's a woman or a child. I feel like it's a child maybe that he has to take. I forget, but he's tempted. He goes with it and then realizes his mistake and then time reverses and he's...
Oh, okay. What?
Or it's like a vision or something,
like
you
Superman
know?
Superman 2.
I can't remember if it's time reversing or if it was all a dream and he just realizes that he does need to be killed for the sake of humanity, whatever. But that's kind of what Duchovny... He's drawn to the fact that, and he's quoted saying that, you know, that his struggle is not only godlike, but human, and that he uses that template for Mulder in the episode.
Yeah, it's a really interesting choice to explore this. I mean, I guess it makes sense.
It's also a little intense for...
I mean, on the nose, I think, would be describing it mildly to the point where when Mulder's going to be taken by the cigarette smoking man, he literally gets tied down to a cross-like shape.
Yeah, yeah. And there's also a lot in this episode that was not received perfectly well by the audience because of the fact that half of it is a dream. So there's a lot of things that are said that are canon in that the smoking man was Mulder's father. And so... They say that, but they say it in a way that you're like, wait, is that real? Right. Like, so a lot of it was like, what's happening?
Well, let's talk about that because let's start with Mulder and
But I think they intended that. They wanted it to be mysterious and that nobody really knew what was going on.
Yeah, but at this point, there's a fine line between mysterious and frustrating.
When you say something like, I'm your father, it's like, okay.
And especially considering that we've gotten this hint a few times, if we once again get it teased, it's like that thing, right, of, oh, here's this alien proof.
It's a little self-indulgent. I mean, from my perspective, some of this episode is very self-indulgent. But
so Mulder's sitting on a beach and he's watching what looks like some sort of like toddler walking along. It'll end up being a young child. Is this assumed to be him?
Yeah. So we were talking about this, but I am going to tell you right now that it has like multiple assumptions, but I think the intent is that it's him and he's sort of talking with himself and that the child that represents like his childlike interest in all of this, very like pure natured want to find the truth out, and that he's like, you know, has to help himself get back to that, I think is all it means. I don't think we should look much deeper into it as we continue on with the series.
Right. Because it'll eventually, because we start seeing like baby Mulder, you know, running towards his parents. So I was thinking like, okay, is this a vision of him in the past that he just remembers? I don't think so.
No.
This isn't like a demons thing, right? Where he undergoes the regression hypnosis.
Yeah. They also had some issues with casting for this because I guess they had originally cast somebody's son to play this little boy, but then realized it was going to be too long on set. So then they had to cast twins. So there's like a chance that some of the scenes are not the same kid.
Nikki and Alex from Full House appearance.
Truly.
So, hey, Mrs. Mulder's back for like a hot second.
Yeah, this is another one of those, we might not go past this
season.
So like we're going to see her as Tina Mulder. We're going to see the woman who played Samantha. We're going to see a bunch of other people. So
we're going to see Deep Throat.
Deep Throat.
I don't know why. When I thought Deep Throat, the first name that jumped to my mind was Dead Fart. I'm like, and I literally just almost said on mic, like, oh yeah, we see.
Well,
dead
you did just say
we
it. So.
We do see Dead Fart.
I think we need to call him that from now on.
Well, he's dead.
Well, he's a dead and he was a fart.
Yeah, so his old fart. So Dead Fart. This is the moment you mentioned before, which is one of your personal fears, right? Mrs. Mulder goes to visit him and he's like, Mom!
This is one of those ones that have you ever been in like a sleep paralysis before?
I have not. I know that you have experienced
it. I have experienced it before where you are half asleep, half awake, but you can't move your body.
Yeah.
And it's like it's really scary and it does go away, but like you end up thinking like, it's one of those things when you're in it, like, is this going to be forever?
Yeah, am like David after dentist.
Yeah. You've experienced this multiple times with me, but every time I get to really, really sick, or like I'll get like food poisoning or something, like I can't see the end of the tunnel. And I think that this is going to be me forever, because when I was pregnant with Asher, I had hypermesis, which is basically where you throw up until you have the baby. And I was like, is this going to be me forever?
To be clear, you don't throw up the baby. You just throw up until you have the baby.
Yeah, but you're like nauseous 24/7 to the point where you have to go to the hospital to get fluids. Yep, and like, it was hard for me to see the light at the end of the tunnel with that at the time. So now every time something happens, I do sort of get PTSD. And I think this is it. This is the end.
You really needed like a Mulder-esque coma fantasy of like what your life could have been to realize.
Yeah, maybe.
How good you had
it. But anyway, so he's sort of in his paralysis, because they're trying to, they're like keeping him under, because last time.
Well, we just saw last time they tried to break him out. He had a seizure.
So they're keeping him under to try to keep him sane and also to stop the brain activity, but it's not really helping. And Tina visits and he's like, oh, I wish you could hear me, Mulder. And he's like, I can hear you, Mom. Mom, I can hear you. And then he screams, Mom.
Samantha!
Yeah, it's very much a Samantha moment.
But
anybody!
Mulder is going to get a visit from a family member who has not revealed himself at the moment.
Yes.
But Cigarette Smoking Man, he knows, you know, I know you can read my thoughts, boy. Like, he knows what Mulder can read his thoughts.
Yes.
And so he thinks this entire time, basically saying, hey.
Oh, and he gives him the drugs right here.
He rouses him up and basically says, like, oh, your debt has been wiped. I want you to come with me.
Mm-hmm.
I do like...
like, I'm your father and I'm going to take you home. Like,
I do like this reference here, though, to the point that you underlined earlier where he says, you're not Christ. You're not Prince Hamlet.
Yeah.
You're not even Ralph Nader.
You're not even Ralph Nader. He's basically trying to knock him down. And I think that this is the temptation. It's all the temptation.
Yeah.
But this is the moment. Choosing to go with him to see, you know, like, to give up his own ego that he is important. And I do like that theme sort of situation here. Did he need to be his father? No.
Yeah,
he didn't.
So let's talk about that.
But I think that has to do with him being Christ, you know? And
yeah, well, I mean, literally, Smokey is pulling a Darth Vader, right?
Yes.
Just take my hand, I am your father.
Yeah, and I mean, this came out far after that, so I don't know what the intent was there, if they were trying to copy it or if they were just being, like, flippant.
Yeah, but I gotta say, I don't love it. I think it's tough because I just feel like it wasn't revealed in a very good way.
No, and I don't think it was necessary for it to be true.
Yeah.
You know, I think it could have been part of this without being
like,
it true.
I don't like Bill Mulder being cucked, personally.
No, but I mean, she had an affair with him, so who's to say? And Mulder was his dad. Whether or not he was his biological father, who's to say? But
wait, Mulder was his dad?
Bill Mulder.
Oh, Bill Mulder was his dad.
Yes. Mulder 1 was Mulder 2's dad.
Mulder was Cigarette Smoking Man's son.
Yeah, well, anyway, so he's going to take him away.
Yeah, basically, like, Mulder's going to, I suppose, agree to go with him, because I guess anything's better than the hospital.
And he wakes up in the car later, so I guess he did.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
Chris Gow is going to show up. Like, you said Jinx 3 seconds.
Yo, me a Coke.
Okay, well, we got some downstairs. But basically, he warns Scully.
Yeah.
Right? He basically says, like, yeah, you know what? You have access to Mulder. You need to use it wisely.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, do not take out the disease. You know, this disease is a really advantageous thing that we can use to help prove everything Mulder's been working for. Don't take it out, because then we lose all
evidence. Don't try to cure him, because I think that it's more important that he's going through this. And Scully's like having a little trouble with that, because she really just wants to save Mulder.
Yeah, he clearly is suffering.
He also, this is where he claims that Mulder's contact with the spacecraft basically reawakened the black oil.
Right.
And
also talking about Christ-like imagery, like, he is the possible one that could save everybody.
Because he's technically proof of alien life.
Right.
So it's
less Neo, and he's more like the smoking gun.
Exactly. But this is also where Skinner, who's like trying to find Mulder, tells Scully that like his mother signed him out of the hospital, basically.
Yeah. And Skinner also washes his hands of this entire situation. He's like, I'm way too close to this. Also, Krishka is going to kill me with nanobots, so I don't want to do this anymore.
Krychek.
This is the problem. Too many KRs.
Too many Russian
last
names.
Luckily, we'll have one off the table very soon in this episode.
Yeah, unfortunately. But yeah, basically, this is where we find out that he has gone with the cigarette smoking man. They're basically in the suburbs of Connecticut, from what it looks like.
I'm very happy for David Duchovny's sake. He didn't have to wear that hospital gown for an entire other episode.
They put him in his classic t-shirt and jeans eventually.
Yeah. Scully, meanwhile, is going to get a little bit of a spiritual visit.
Yeah, well, we're skipping over Deep Throat.
No, this isn't Deep Throat yet. Albert Hosteen's going to visit.
Oh, right. I forgot. So anyway, she gets a little visit.
Yeah, he drops by and is basically like, hey, you have to find Mulder. It may be the end of us all. Mm-hmm. And so she's led to basically...
Is this also where she gets the book?
Yeah, no, this isn't the book yet. This is where she gets guided to the footage from the hospital.
Yes.
Of like, oh, someone with those veiny old hands is talking to Mrs. Mulder. I wonder who that could be.
Yeah, so she goes to the hospital and they find security tapes and she sees Mulder's mother talking to the cigarette smoking man, but is unable to contact her. She's not able to like get in touch with his mom.
Yeah. Meanwhile, cigarette smoking man, like you said, sort of abandoned, but then tries to create this illusion of free will, right? Like,
yeah.
Hey, I know I drove you in this car, but why don't you go exploring? And he just literally walks off.
He's just like, go check out your new house.
And his new house has a fridge full of sunflower seeds.
Sunflower seeds and and milk, right?
Yeah, I think there was probably some milk in there, probably some non-expired Sunny D.
No, it was sunflower seeds and then there was something else next to it. I forget. Orange juice, maybe something like very like, oh, you like this stuff.
Yeah, well, remember that one episode where he had nothing except for the orange juice and it was spoiled. So maybe that's all he was seeking out.
Anyway, it was a fridge for Mulder. And in his kitchen, he finds
Dead Fart,
his former friend, still played by Jerry Hardin, and basically tells him that he faked his own death to escape the burden of like being part of the syndicate.
Basically, he said, I just got shot, but it's fine. I started a whole new chapter.
It's like
in my
witness.
Life.
He's basically claiming that this is witness protection, that this community of houses is all the people that want to escape like the government conspiracy.
Exactly. Like world. It's, they're really putting him under this illusion of, well, the people who left you in your life aren't really dead. We've just been hiding out this entire time and we're here to help you escape.
And speaking of helping him escape, by Chihuahua.
Yeah. So one of the temptations that is offered here is Diana Fowley in a red light.
Mary Magdalene.
And a nice little number here.
Yeah. So they basically do it because she convinces him to lean into the carnal pleasures of humanity.
She looks different here.
Yeah, you didn't realize this was Fowley at first, and I knew it was.
I think it's the hair. I think the hair in her professional setting is more coiffed.
Well, she's also wearing like lingerie.
Well, yeah, that was probably more of the big
also,
to-do.
This is like terrible, but I don't find her like the most attractive in the world, so I always have to, and I think that has to do with the time and her hair and her style. It's rough, but for some reason I don't buy it that they would have sex. Like, I just don't think
even in Mulder's like carnal fantasies.
I just don't buy her as somebody that he should be attracted to.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, I don't know. I guess if we're looking...
She's done so much shit to him. How can he still want to, like, be with
Mulder's
her?
Mulder's a pretty screwed up person,
it's
though.
True. And plus, he doesn't get it in quite often, imagine.
Yeah, and we also know that he has this history with Fowley that we don't necessarily know about. Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of backstory that we're not filling
in on. And they tell you, but they don't show you, which is hard, so you don't end up being, like, totally in the know. But
so, speaking of Fowley, we'll find out later, but as the secret beneficiary, but this is when Scully gets a book, and basically it talks about the
she gets like a mysterious package.
Yeah, and this book talks about the Anasazi and this idea of like a whole people vanish without a trace, and essentially the ideas of the sixth extinction are echoed back to her.
Yeah, basically it's a book on Native American like belief structures, and one of them describes how one man will prevent the impending apocalypse. It basically like kind of laying it out for you that Mulder's that guy.
Yeah, and so she feels like, you know, she calls Skinner like, oh, sir, I'm pretty sure
I figured it out.
Mulder's being kidnapped to prevent extinction, and Skinner hangs up. And first, you know, she's like, how rude, let me go storm into his office. But maybe it was more so for health concerns.
Yeah, so she storms into his office, and I guess he had been having a meeting with Krychek. And so Krychek is there, but she doesn't know it's Krychek because he's wearing a long wig.
Yeah, so I guess this was what Spencer referred to. Again, we didn't see this episode, but it seemed like this might have been Krychek's disguise when he implanted the nanobots in the first place.
Yeah, I'm actually very happy we skipped that episode.
Like,
it's super frustrating.
He looks like a Geico caveman, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, and so he's wearing this like green army jacket and like looks like a homeless guy, basically. And so
how would they let this man into the FBI?
Well, I think he probably knows the secret entrances.
Yeah, but like, you
it's
can't...
It's the 90s.
But you're watching this man walk around and you're not going to profile him a little
totally.
Bit?
Totally. But he's basically like, had been listening and I imagine didn't think he liked what he was saying.
Right, so
he
essentially pushed the panic button.
Yeah, he turns the... So there's this thing and there's a little knob that is like a dial on a microwave or something. Mm-hmm. So it goes from like 0 to 10. And as he turns the knob up, basically constricts Skinner's heart with the nanobites. So that's what he does throughout the episode. But Anyway,
I think this is actually the last we see of Skinner. So, like, TBD, yeah. I'm assuming he's going to be alive.
He's but... fine. He'll be around.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, Scully is actually going to have a conversation with
Krichko.
I believe. Well, no, I think it's two separate conversations because mm-hmm. she's going to have regrets basically about, like, leaving everything behind.
Right.
And then Fowley is going to tell Mulder, like, oh, your commitments are childish and we should start a family together.
Yeah, it's a really weird couple of scenes because I think that she visits Krichko and notices also, this is the part where she notices that he has a stolen copy of all of her information.
This idiot has the info up on his computer.
Yeah, as he answers the door.
Like,
and he basically admits to hacking her computer and she deletes all the files.
Like, I know, obviously, you don't know who's at the door, but, like, no matter who it is, you know, it's like at work.
Close your computer.
Or put up a fake screen or something. But yeah, he basically says that he stole her information to get it analyzed by the NIH, the National Institution of Health, to basically prove whether Mulder has biological alien DNA in him. Because
yeah, then that will make...
Krichko's plan is to be the leak.
Yeah, Krichko wants his job back. He wants his life back. He feels, which he's not going to get because...
No, literally.
And also, I blame this on Scully because the fact that she deleted that information, I think, is why he dies later because Krychek shows up and is basically there to destroy it, but finds out or get it, and he finds out he doesn't even have it, and so he kills him.
So you think because Krichko didn't have any leverage that Krychek just kills him right there?
Yeah.
I could see it go either way.
I mean, he probably kills him anyway, but
exactly.
I don't think it helped. Anyway, yeah, we're back in... suburbia.
Yeah,
what do we call it? Like Pleasantville?
Pleasantville, that's a good way to call it.
The Stepford Wives territory. And yeah, so he's basically like...
he's like, this is a little too much. You're coming on way too strong.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, last night was fun, but like, I gotta go. I got responsibilities. And she's like, you're being a child.
And was she implying that like she was already pregnant or was she
saying? No. Okay. She was just saying that he was being like selfish.
But the idea of wanting to start a family specifically.
Oh, no. Because this is supposed to be one of those. The next few scenes are basically him having a dream.
Yeah, we don't have the montage until later.
No, but it's like that's kind of the vibe anyway. But anyway, he's reunited with Samantha, who apparently has also been living.
Yeah, adult Samantha, who's just playing with the children, living a life you've forsaken. Now, it's weird we don't see any follow-up from this.
No, but I think the whole point was to tempt him to follow through with the dreams.
But that's fine. I would have liked to see that. I would like to see a conversation. Like, I do not like the fact that it was distilled down to Fowley. I know this is the last time we see the character, but I feel like that's a missed opportunity.
No, I know, but it's also not important because it's not real. And I think that the whole point is that it's jumping from thing to thing. Because, like, the next section is that he marries Fowley and they have children and, like, the years go by.
It's like the end of Six Feet Under.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like time passes like really quickly and all of a sudden he's older and Fowley's dead.
Yeah.
And Mulder's like revealed to be dreaming everything.
Right. This is when we get the reveal that of course it's all a fake.
Yeah. Time started jumping too, it was like, oi.
Yeah. Basically we find out Mulder's on this cross table.
Yeah. Right? Sort of examination table in a government facility somewhere.
And we'll find out later that essentially why Cigarette Smoking Man took him was to like transplant the
activated virus
into Cigarette Smoking Man to like make him more powerful and also, you know, I think help the case of if he's experiencing this, we all can, and we can help ourselves against colonization.
Well, yeah, because Mulder is now I guess you could say vaccinated against colonization,
inoculated.
So he can't be turned into an alien, he can't be a host. And so that's what he's hoping he can do to himself. And so they're going to like take out his brain and put in and
the science is very yada yada about this because I guess because they end up going through with it and the assumption is they just cut open Mulder's head and like took part of his brain and put it in the cigarette.
Yeah, they talk about cranial tissue, which the parts that have been infected and activated because of the virus, they implant into the cranial tissue of the Cigarette Smoking Man, which is like does not make any scientific sense.
It does not whatsoever.
And also that Mulder's fine and they didn't have to shave his head at all.
Yeah, and there's no like even like a line of sewing things up around his head.
Well, it's in the back.
Yeah, but that's still, like, there's no marks from anything. I think the shaved head is a very good observation.
Yeah, I guess maybe they shaved a part of it to get in there, and that's why he has the white bandage around his head. But when you show up at his apartment later, he's wearing that baseball cap. The assumption is that he has no hair, and then he takes the cap off, and you're like, well, why do you have the cap on?
Maybe they just felt it was such a good haircut. They didn't want to.
He probably said no
on it. So this is going to be when Scully confronts Fowley.
Yeah.
because Fowley, again, she is like in the scrubs alongside Cigarette Smoking Man. She's his cohort, and basically Scully kind of guilts her, right?
Well, because I think that she's also like, is this necessary? She says it a few times to the Cigarette Smoking Man because she's watching it all
right,
happen.
Again,
and
this,
she's
this
like,
is the doubting Thomas, if yeah. you will. She is another biblical reference.
Yeah, do you know what that biblical reference is by saying doubting Thomas?
I'm assuming it was Thomas doubted the miracles that Jesus was doing.
Yes, but it's Thomas.
He looked so forlorn when I got the answer right.
It's Thomas doubting that Jesus came back from his resurrection, and the way he's like, Jesus approaches him and is like, "Hey, I'm back. Aye, aye, aye. Like, let's get it on. And, like, let's get things done. You're my apostle. Like, let's spread the word." And Thomas is like, "You're not Jesus. Like, Jesus is dead." And then Jesus comes back and shows him the holes in his hands. Mm-hmm. And he basically is like, "You should have believed without having to see."
And so what? Then he like murders Thomas out of revenge.
No.
No, that would have been cool.
He's Jesus.
Yeah, but like...
this isn't the Old Testament.
Yeah, so that's the connotation. Like, I know doubting Thomas. I know Peter denies...
You know, the Lazarus pit.
I mean, I know the Lazarus pit. I know that Pontius Pilate washes his hands of the situation.
So everything that was in a musical about Jesus, you know.
It could be worse. I will just say that. It could be worse.
That's true.
So Scully is essentially going to tell Fowley, you know, Mulder would do... would not do what you're doing in his situation.
Yeah, she's basically telling him, like, if this was you on that table, would you think Mulder wouldn't fight his way to the death to get you back?
Yeah,
and so yeah, like, he would. And so basically we'll find out later that she does sort of give up the gun and gives Scully the means to rescue Mulder.
Right. It's interesting because Scully's already gotten the book, which Fowley confirms was from her. So like, I think she's already sort of skewed
yes.
towards
well,
that area.
Yeah. But... and I think you see that by her asking the cigarette smoking man, like, do you think this is necessary?
Right.
And it's just like pretty consistent, but.
Should we talk about this montage here? The older Mulder of it all?
Yeah. So, I mean, we mentioned it quickly that, yeah, the years pass quickly. He grows older. Fowley dies in his dream.
Mm-hmm.
And then we flip back to reality when it's sort of given back to us that it's all a dream. But then we go back into the dream and Mulder becomes an old man.
This is, so Spencer asks, which has the worst old man Mulder makeup, Amor Fati or Dodd-Com? Amor Fati bar none.
Yeah, well, Dodd-Com isn't really old age makeup either. It's salt.
Yeah, and also like that I could kind of
it's like shriveled.
And we only see that for like 10 minutes, like only like 5 minutes. This week,
but they're not saying that he's old in that. They're saying that he's lost all the hydration in his body.
Right.
Whereas that's what this looks like.
This is some of the worst old age makeup I have ever. But it's not even wrinkly.
No, he's like a.
It resembles
like a
if he smeared.
Spackled.
Yeah, model magic on his face and let it dry.
Yeah. I mean, it's not good, that's for sure.
Yeah,
but
he looks like, what is that? Like the name of the tiling or like the ceiling at a school,
yeah,
right?
Stucco.
Stucco, exactly. He has stucco face.
Yeah, he has stucco face.
So, like, the wrinkles are even realistic. Like, he has infinitesimal, tiny,
well,
microscopic wrinkles.
I'm not
going to
say maybe they intended that, but the fact that Mulder is an old man in his dream and the cigarette smoking man is the same age as he was, and he basically, you know, it's obvious that there's something going on here again, and he tells him that...
Our program's a little bit off. We didn't work on the old age makeup that well.
Yeah. And so he tells him that everyone's dead. Fowley, Deep Throat, Samantha, Scully, they're all dead.
And basically he says, like, oh, there's a boy back on the beach who's ready to show you what you wanted to see.
Yeah, but that's at the end of this. But first he tells him that they're the only ones left, basically insinuating that they both survived whatever alien invasion it was, and it's just them. And, they look out the window. And there's an alien holocaust.
Yeah, essentially. It's like War of the Worlds out there.
Yeah, which is actually really well done from a graphics perspective.
Well,
because
I think what they do is it's not all CGI, right? I can imagine.
So I mentioned this when we were watching it, but it's a painting with then CGI elements layered on top of it, which I think is what they do in a lot of Star Wars, in the Star Wars movies as well.
I think that makes sense. Like,
landscape-wise.
Create a painted background and then build stuff on top of that.
Yeah,
so at least, like, if there's hokey stuff in the foreground, the background looks nice.
Yeah, and I didn't think it looked that hokey what they were doing. They were just, like, spaceships zooming in and out and things exploding.
So here I'm a little confused, because before we get to the alien apocalypse, there is a point where he goes back to the beach and the kid, right, built this giant sandcastle of the ship.
Yeah, so basically he is dreaming that, like, the old man him is
old man
is the humanity.
Boulder.
It's the humanity. He's succumbed to the temptation of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
The little kid version of him is the one that believes in aliens and knows that the truth is out there. And so this is Mulder telling himself that he needs to go finish that sandcastle.
So
he needs to go find the truth.
So this, when the cigarette smoking man appears here, that's Mulder's
It's
version.
Mulder, yeah. Okay. None of the stuff that's happening in this dream could have been in.
I, for some reason, thought it was the cigarette smoking man, like, being able to jump in and influence.
No, there's no way that could happen. I don't think they even know what he's dreaming, you know?
Okay.
So I think it's all just in his head, so.
Okay, and the kid, yeah. Meanwhile, is destroying the ship. He's basically like, it was supposed to be you! You were the chosen one!
And, yeah, because he basically, like, let himself down.
Yeah. And then also, this is where we have the E.T. moment, right? Like, have you looked for him here? And he points to his heart.
Yeah. So stupid.
It's very, very alien adjacent.
That's Albert Hofstein, though, right?
Yes, that is Albert Hofstein. Because Scully, we should also mention this, like, Scully's going to wake up, like, passed out in her living room. So I guess, was she having her own dreams?
Yeah, she was having her own dreams. But I think that this is the ghost. It's supposed to be, like, the ghost of Albert Hofstein.
Yeah.
Because later in the episode, they tell us that he's been in a coma. So this is, like, his astral projection. And then he dies.
It's weird because, again, Scully wakes up on the floor of her living room. So was it, like, did his spirit take her over? Did he see her and, like, ghost, and she passes out?
I think it's the astral projection, and that they prayed together all night long, and when she wakes up, his astral projection's not there anymore. So she just falls asleep.
Yeah.
She's not passed out. They prayed all night.
Okay. But she gets a little bit of benevolence in the form of an envelope shoved under her door with a key card.
Yeah, exactly. And so she's able to go rescue Mulder, but first we are sort of we're given this little tableau of Krychek killing Krychkow and burning everything.
Watching it burn.
Yeah, for a second there, I had this worry that this was the X-Files office again. I was like, oh no, because they were X-Files burning.
This poor X-Files office, man. Gone through so many iterations.
And he steals his laptop because his hope was that
I might as well take it.
Well, maybe he doesn't know there's no information on there. Maybe he killed him thinking there was.
And maybe Krychek just wants a computer. He wants maybe to play solitary.
Maybe he's such like a sad sack that he just needed a compooper.
He wanted to watch YouTube videos to make him feel better.
Not yet.
So this is where we're going to get, like, an interesting cross-planar Scully and Mulder conversation.
So, yeah, this is, like, maybe Mulder's coming out of it a little bit, and he's hearing Scully in his vision, but also in reality.
Right, because Scully's going to, dream Scully is going to visit Mulder here, basically, like, really slapping some sense into him, saying, you're a deserter, you're a coward, you're training in the mission for this creature comfort. Get up and fight the fight.
So I think he sensed that she was there, and then, like, put all these words in her mouth. Like, I don't think she's saying any of that stuff.
No, I do not think she would be that rough with him.
But she finds him and she's like sort of stroking his face, like telling him he needs to get up, like you need to get up, and she's crying. She's so good at crying.
And he does wake up.
Yeah.
So she was able to make the right approach here. I mean, he'll bring it up later, but she is his constant. So it makes sense that much like Desmond's call to Penny, this was the thing to rouse him.
Yeah, you loved when he said that.
I mean, listen, how could I not?
It's true. So anyway, 2 weeks later.
A week later. Yeah, we yada yada through like them just getting out. I guess nobody else was around.
Also, like nobody wanted to see that again, them escaping a government facility.
Yeah,
it's happened far too often.
Yeah, true. Though, again, there's a lot of things of, well, shouldn't this place be more high security? If so,
remember when
able to walk
he
out?
Rescues her from the iceberg and she, you know, like they're escaping that in the movie.
These places are very badly manned, I would say. Cigarette Smoking Man's like, our job is done. Let's all go grab a beer. My treat.
Yeah, and so Scully goes to his apartment to just sort of check up on him, and she sees him getting ready to go back to work, which is wild.
But she is also emotionally overwhelmed for a number of reasons. She doesn't know like what to believe, who to trust. Again, like this has foundationally shaken who she was, all this stuff about the aliens and the Bible. And I know that Scully is typically someone to not want to believe, and she's still trying to reconcile with all that.
And she also feels super guilty because now she has to tell him that Fally's dead.
Yeah, and Scully also feels guilty because all the cursing out that she did for Fally sort of came through for her.
Yeah,
in the
she
end.
Was the only, I mean, I don't think Mulder would have been rescued otherwise.
Yeah,
so.
She's the one who gave the book, the key card.
Then she was murdered.
So RIP Diana Fally. I mean, you went out a good person, but like, still,
you sucked as a character.
Still mixed as a character.
Anyway, this is where we get the touchstone constant of it all. And basically, like, a very emotional scene, which I really love. These are the scenes that I love between them, where there's, like, this... I know it's, like, a will-they-won't-they kiss type of thing, but, like, I never feel like they're going to. I always feel like it is just this, like, just intense, like, moment of connection where he tells her that she's his constant, that she's everything to him. And she says, like, you're mine. And it's like a reawakening of the duo.
Yeah. But we see what Mulder's true constant is as the episode ends with him and assumingly his younger self building the sandcastle of the spaceship. So like,
yeah, finishing
Mulder's
it.
Back, baby.
Yes, exactly. He's back. He's better than ever. He's ready to find aliens.
Yeah. So this is interesting. When I remember when Brendan Fitzpatrick made a list of his own like essential X-Files episodes to watch, I think this was one of the only season finale / season premiere arcs he left off.
Really?
I mean,
I can't remember what he said.
I can see a little bit why, because this does feel a little bit like, except for Fowley being dead and the whole revelation about Cigarette Smoking Man being Mulder's father, like, we sort of go back to square one.
Yeah, but I also just, I've always enjoyed the trip to Africa that happens in these scenes, in this one, with the big spaceship in the water, because I feel like that's cool, like, from a visual perspective.
It's good to get a change of location.
Yeah, but also, like, there's a big spaceship in the water that has human genetics on it. Like, that's cool.
It's a cool idea. I'm assuming we don't build on it much, though.
To an extent that the aliens, like, you know how we left the syndicate behind, so we're like, what happens now with the whole idea that aliens are trying to colonize the Earth? It'll continue to be, like, in the back of everyone's mind.
But it's just a reminder of, like,
yes,
aliens
like a reminder.
Are foundational and human.
And
you know,
yeah, and
species.
Also aliens are, like, foundational in this show. Like,
Listen, very, very true. We want to talk some spooks. Who's spooking you this week?
Probably Burns.
Barnes. I mean, he does burn later on. I'm going to say Barnes. I'm also going to say Krischgau.
Yeah, he's not spooky so much as he is a bit of a tragic figure, but I would say he definitely plays a force in these two episodes. And he is dead.
And he's also dead. I guess that makes him spooky as well. Or maybe Albert Hostein should be.
I don't know how spooky. Well, I guess
he's pretty spooky when he visited school. Oh, you know what? Should the guy with the spear be a spook?
Sure.
All right, so we are going to continue with the X-Files season 7. Now that I know that they were planning for this to be the final one, I'm really intrigued to see how they approach this season.
Yes, so I'm excited about this season. There's a lot of episodes we're going to watch. There's also a lot of episodes we're not going to watch. I think that when going over what the next two episodes were going to be, I skipped the next in the lineup, which is Hungry. We're not going to watch Brain Cannibalism.
Oh, boy,
but
good.
We are going to watch Millennium.
Oh, that's the, isn't that another Chris Carter spinoff show?
Yes, and so that there are portions of it in this episode. Yes.
So this is like a backdoor pilot.
It's like a little bit of a backdoor pilot. And also a little bit about the actual Millennium, because it is in 1999 that this is taking place.
Oh, yeah. This came out November 28th.
Yes.
Oh, wow. So a month before.
Yeah. So it's a fun little nostalgia trip for us, I think.
We can certainly talk about Y2K.
Yes. Happened. We were there. And then the other one that we're going to watch next week is the Goldberg Variation.
Oh, yeah. I remember this. It takes place in the 80s, right? It's a little bit like the Wonder Years, and they sort of do a bunch of like send-ups of pop culture, right? I think Jeff Garland's in it, and...
Are you being serious right
now?
No,
it's a joke about the Goldbergs, the show.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, no, none of that. But it does have two guest stars, one of which recently passed away, Willie Garson
of
Sex and the City fame. So I thought this would be a nice send-up to him and honor his fight for pancreatic cancer.
Aww.
And also Shia LaBeouf.
What the? Shia LaBeouf is in this?
Yeah, as a very small kid.
Oh, that is so. And this is like.
This is like primo Shia LaBeouf territory.
Yeah, this is like pre Even Stevens.
Yeah, so this is a good one.
Stevens.
This is about. The main character is Willie Garson, so that'll be fun for us to watch. As you can imagine, has something to do with some Rube Goldberg machinery and stuff like that. So.
Interesting. Okay, so yeah, it's episode 4 and episode 6 of season 7. We're talking about the last few episodes of 1999, of the 20th century.
1999.
Well, hopefully we'll be doing some partying. So if you have any thoughts about those episodes and the ones we just talked about, you know what to do. X-Files at postshowrecaps.com, Bloomfiles at postshowrecaps.com. On Twitter, at Ange Pelagi, at A Mike Bloom Type, at postshowrecaps. We're going to keep going through season 7. I'm very intrigued to see Shia LaBeouf and Willie Garson in an X-Files episode, as well as like something that
loosely inspires the best episodes. It's really good. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm excited to check out some more really good X-Files as yet another season gets cracked
into. Oh, wait, pause.
what are we pausing about?
So, Millennium This is when it was canceled, actually.
Oh, so this is not the beginning. This is the end.
Yeah, this is the end. So it's bringing closure to that ending.
Because I'm assuming it got canceled and Chris Carter's like, all right, well, I've got to close the series out some way.
So there'll be a little bit of a crossover there.
All right, well, I'm going to need to have a lot explained to me, probably more so than usual.
Well, me too, because I'm not a big Millennium person. I'll have to do some research.
If you have some Millennium thoughts, send them in so we can get some backstory here. I'm looking forward to hearing from you all. Looking forward to talking more X-Files next week. Special thanks to Corey B. for this fantastic theme song. We'll talk next week. Until then, case closed.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.